It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 36. It's team selection time as Mark, aka the FPL General, reveals his free... No, not a free hit side. That was a couple of weeks ago now. Reveals your thoughts, really, for single Game Week 36. I'm so obsessed with chips, double game weeks. So this is just like a normal game week. No chips, no transfers for so many people, no double games. Yeah, Mark, how are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Good to be back for another video. FPL-wise, wasn't so good, I think, for a lot of managers at the weekend. It was one of those where, I know it's not over yet, we've got one more game with Chelsea and Tottenham to play again, and pressure's on those players to save some game weeks. I think I've got about a 10K red arrow, I think 42K down to 52K.
Yeah.
So not great. Took a minus four, which was okay. I brought in Anthony Gordon for Salah, which... probably one of the few things that actually went well over the course of the weekend. But yeah, hard to believe, only three game weeks to go. So pressure on. I'm trying to get this top 50K rank. So I'm kind of hovering around that now. So pressure's on to achieve the goal.
Yeah, very similar to me. I mean, I wildcarded into this. already I've got Cher and Edison as injury doubts. One with his arm and his sling. Both of those could be out of action. Yeah, I've gone down... currently, but I've got five players to go. I've gone down in rank to about 1,000 or so. So I've got a small red arrow. I'm anticipating a small green arrow because I've got Palmer, Petrovic, Jackson, Porro and Son left. And all of them are very quite well owned this game week. So even if they do really well, I'll get a small green arrow, I think.
Yeah, I'm in trouble with injuries as well. Fabian Scher, Van Hecke, Gusto.
Yeah.
And I was planning to actually get Ederson this week. Mm. So I'm cursed. Everything I touch at the moment seems to get injured, which is, it's making for a fun bench boost in Game Week 37. At this stage, I won't even have a bench. So no. It's going to be interesting to see how I navigate that now. I probably need to take a couple of hits to get a decent bench out. So I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, defensive options are going to be key. We're not going to look at goalkeepers this week, but we will have a bit of a focus on defenders. Just a reminder to everyone, do press that like button. It does help us out. And do remember to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to this as well. So let's have a look at detail. Well, I won't sketch on it for too long, but how you're doing so far this week. You've got 46 points, but minus four, so 42. But you do have Pedro, Porro, Son, Palmer, captain, and Petrovic to go. You got Foden out. So, yeah. Do you want to just quickly run through your team and sort of who your stars and what your problems are?
Yeah, most of the problems are at the back, like I mentioned. I still have Kelleher to get rid of at some point before the bench boost as well. So it was going to be Ederson. It could now be Ortega. It could be Onana or Vicario. I keep saying that's future Mark's problem to deal with, but it's getting close to Game Week 37. So Petrovic in goal, nothing from Gabriel, Fabian Scher or Pedro Porro yet. Gordon came in for Salah for the 10-pointer. Captain Palmer to go again. Frustratingly, no Foden because of illness. So Garnacho came in with nothing. Watched the highlights of that United game and he had some decent chances, so could have had more there. Son got the penalty, another game to go. Isak continues to deliver 13 points. Haaland off the bench for five. And I was banking on Solanke doing something because I don't have Nicholas Jackson, and he blanked also in a 3-0, which was not, you don't usually see Solanke getting nothing in a Bournemouth 3-0 victory. Yeah. So Garnacho comes in for Foden, and then you've got Van Hecke, Gusto, and Kelleher with zeros on the bench as well. So transfers need to be used for this bench boost in 37.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar to most wildcard teams. So I've got a quite typical wildcard team. I've got about 10 points more than that. So it's not a great deal more in the great scheme of things. But maybe a couple more players. I think the main thing was a lot of us wildcarders has Haaland on the bench. So coming in for Foden is Haaland's 5 points, which is obviously a bit better than some other players, that Garnacho, that didn't do well. But yeah, Brighton, I mean, as a Brighton fan, Brighton are a team to target now. They're, you know, on the beach, literally, geographically, in every way possible. They're running out of players. They're fielding children now. They're mining their youth team. I mean, this reminds me of when they went down to the old divisions, like the old third tier. And they'd run out of money, they run out of players, they had to field their youth side. And it was, I mean, it was horrible. We were watching these sort of 16, 17-year-old boys up against these sort of 36-year-old man mountains from Cardiff or whatever. And it was a shocking sight. But I'm getting similar vibes now. I do the predictions for Brighton, and we noted that two of the players that came in aren't actually on our list. They're not even on that. We couldn't have even selected them, even if we thought they were going to play. So
yeah, few surprise names popping up in these Brighton team sheets every weekend now. So it actually might be a blessing in disguise that Van Hecke has picked up an injury. It'll probably force me to go elsewhere for a defender from a team that actually might keep some clean sheets or get some attack in return. So Van Hecke, if he does remain out, I'll just go elsewhere, even if it's a -4. I'll probably just do it.
Yeah, it does make me think they face Brighton travel to St James's Park in game week 37. And I'm seriously considering captaining Gordon for that because, or Isak even, just because Newcastle's home record. You've been tapping into Isak for a long time, but I'm new to it and I can see what all the fuss is about. It's 23 points from two players. Bingo, done.
Yeah, I just, you know, you looked at that Sheffield United fixture at home for Newcastle, and I had a really difficult decision to make to bring in Bruno Fernandes or Anthony Gordon. And I knew, you know, kind of wildcard teams were in the back of my mind about what they were going to do. And I knew Bruno was going to be very highly owned as well as Gordon. But again, I've been kicking myself for ages for not getting him back in. I lost Gordon on a game week 20 wildcard, I think it was. Yeah. I turned down the chance to go there on a game 30 wild card. So I finally bit the bullet, brought him back in. The fixtures were just, you know, it made a lot of sense. So it was quite nice to get the two assists from him.
Okay, well, let's, speaking of fixtures, I've got the season ticker up. It's getting smaller and smaller. Just 3 game weeks left, one of which is a double in 37. I've sorted this by difficulty, but there's a twist because I knew you're interested in defenders. I could be too. A lot of other wild carders maybe. They brought in newly injured players, even Van Hecke. So I've sorted this by fixture difficulty in defensive terms as well. So these are the best in terms of defensive terms. I question the Brighton being fourth in this, though, but it is just because of volume of fixtures, and 3 of their games are at home. So I think they're focusing on that. But I think the fact that children might be playing for this, I mean, I'd probably sort of manually put them a bit further down. But anyway, Newcastle are top. They've got Burnley away. It's a good away fixture. Brighton at home, really good home fixture in 37. And Manchester United away, that's good as well. Manchester United, not exactly free scoring at the moment. And Brentford away at the end in 38. So it's not too bad. Chelsea next, West Ham at home. Nottingham Forest and Brighton away. So a good double for them, 37. And Bournemouth at home in 38. That's Palmer could be captain then. Manchester City, they got Wolves at home. Good fixture. Annoying if Edison's arm is still in a sling. Fulham and Tottenham away. And then West Ham at home. And then Brighton, they've got Villa, Chelsea, Manchester United all at home. And that Newcastle away clash. Manchester United as well. I know you are interested in Maguire. Crystal Palace away. And then they've got Arsenal and Newcastle at home. I'm not expecting many defensive returns there. Brighton away, you never know for that one. Luton are actually next for single game week fixtures. Could be a return of Doherty. Doughty rather, not Doherty. I saw the orange and I was thinking Wolves. I meant Doughty. Alfie Doughty. Everton at home, Fulham at home, and then West Ham away. Tottenham are of note. They've got Burnley at home, Sheffield United away in amongst their four, but they've also got Liverpool and Man City. And then much further down, Liverpool, they've got good away last fixture, but they've got Tottenham at home, Aston Villa away, and then Wolves at home in 38. So looking at all of that, really, what's your sort of first thoughts about transfers that you'll probably make? I would imagine you might be thinking more of making a 37.
Yeah, so it's, again, good to see Newcastle at the top here. And it makes the Fabian Scher injury frustrating because, again, you said earlier I was keen on Harry Maguire soon. And, again, that was a decision, kind of a 50-50 call I made with the two transfers last game week. I just sat down and I looked at the fixtures from 35 to 38, and I just preferred Newcastle's. Mm. And I had, you know, more faith in them as a team overall as well at the moment. So I ended up using the Salah cash to get a Fabian Scher instead of a Harry Maguire. Both players didn't get any points in game week 35, but hopefully Fabian Scher is okay. Even if he was to miss 36, I'm just hoping he's back for 37. The same goes for Gusto. You know, Chelsea are near the top of the ticker there. Gusto was pictured in some kind of training last week, probably individual. But hopefully he, again, if he misses 36, I can probably survive and get him hopefully back for game week 37. When it does come to buying a new defender, which I'm definitely going to have to do, maybe even this week, and maybe Van Hekke might be the one who goes. Manchester City, you know, they jump out at me first of all. I was thinking about Ederson, now that he's out of the picture, well, might be out of the picture. If I don't go Ortega, then, you know, a Gvardiol or a Kyle Walker, even a Ruben Dias, if he's back in the picture, then that's probably an obvious place to go for a new defender. And again, you've got Arsenal always, even though they don't have a double. Bournemouth, Man United, Everton, that could be three clean sheets the way Arsenal have been defending this season. So I've got Gabriel. Maybe I just go back to a Ben White or a Saliba or something like that. So it's probably City and Arsenal that I'm looking at first.
Yeah. I didn't mention Arsenal, actually. They've got Bournemouth at home and Everton at home and Manchester United away in 37. So they've got a nice bunch of fixtures as well. That's why my wildcard, I didn't mess around. I just got Gabriel and Ben White in. Ben White's the inexplicably always scores 5 points more than the other Arsenal defenders. So I just thought I'd get them. I'm happy to play them any week. Looking at this as well, it's Man City. My last wildcard decision was Dalot and Byrne or Scher and Maguire. And I ended up going for the latter. So I wouldn't have to make so hopefully Scher is better. Byrne is a good option. I think Dalot. I just thought Dalot and Maguire were much of a muchness. I just thought Maguire might have a bit more of a goal threat. Off chance, and I thought Scher as well. I just fancied him to get a bit better. If you've got the money, Scher's better than Byrne, I think. But there is,
yeah, that's what I came down to as well when I was making that decision last week. And I'm still not going to rule out going for Maguire or even a Dalot. But again, I just look at these fixtures. Crystal Palace are playing very well. They're scoring goals. Mm. Arsenal will score against Man United. Mm. Newcastle score goals. So I just don't really see clean sheets. Maybe 38, not too bad for Man United, but again, it's 38, and we know what happens in game 38 in terms of goals scored. So again, even though United have the extra fixture, I look at a City defender, I prefer that, and I still prefer an Arsenal defender with three fixtures versus four when it comes to Arsenal versus Man United. So I think I'm going to end up swerving Maguire, having talked about him for about 5 or 6 weeks straight.
I think with Man City as well, what put me off Walker and Gvardiol, even though I think they're very good options, was that I just didn't think I would get two games in a double from them. Whereas I think with Maguire, I think hopefully those other players aren't back to compete with him, but I'm pretty certain he's locked in now. And I think the same with Fabian Scher and Byrne. So I just think those sorts of players are a bit more nailed on. So if Ederson is totally out, Ortega will probably be the one I'll get him, because also he won't. Then game week 38, if they've got the league wrapped up by the end of 37, game week 38 is usually play your reserve goalkeeper time. But if Ortega is the only goalkeeper, if they've got, I don't even know who's below Ortega in it. I'm sure Scott Carson's about 80 now, so he's not going to play. So I just think Ortega will get that match anyway. I just don't know. With I think Walker and Guardiola, as we saw with the goal, they're the best, but I don't know if they're going to play. There's too many players.
Yeah, and again, just thinking about this a bit more, I think if we do get news that Ederson's out for the rest of the season, and certainly when he's wearing a sling, it's not looking good initially, then I think Ortega just becomes an easy automatic pick because then you don't have the possible Walker or Diaz or Guardiola benchings in the double game week. And you say Carson might not play, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think Pep's done that before, even though he is about 59 years old or whatever. If the league's wrapped up, why wouldn't he play? But again, a lot of people will probably have... I mean, if again, speaking about bench boost, 37 managers, you probably have two keepers anyway.
Yeah.
So Petrovic, there's always a risk Sanchez could get a game, of course, in game week 38 as well. But I think if you've got Petrovic, Ortega, and if Ederson out, you'd be pretty unlucky not to have a goalkeeper start in game week 38.
Yeah,
so I think Ederson over, sorry, Ortega over a City defender, and then just get Ben White is probably the most sensible approach for me. I've got about 5 or 6 million in the bank from selling Salah, so cash isn't an issue. I think that's the straightforward play.
Okay, well, I've got a table. It's quite a big table actually of defenders, and this is sorted by all matches, but it's minutes per expected goal involvement. So it's how often they play. So there's players on here that have hardly had any starts, but they may be starting recently, and so this table will catch them. And it includes data about, you know, shots inside the box, chances created, how many goals and assists they've got, obviously, clean sheets, their baseline bonus, which is how much the points that go towards the bonus points, how they calculate bonus points at the end of each match. So I'll go down this a list, and then you can give your thoughts on them or whether you might get them in. Top of the list is Alexander Arnold's 10 shots inside the box this season. 58 chances created. He's had three. Sorry, I'm getting notifications. Sorry, on my computer. I had turned them all off, but one slipped through. He scored 3 goals, 5 assists, 7 clean sheets. He's the best minutes per expected goal involvement of any defenders this season. He's had getting on for nearly 8 expected goal involvements, and he's pretty much got that. He's got 8. He's had 59 corners. He pretty much starts when he is able to. Minutes per baseline bonus, 5.2. Very strong. As owners will know, he gets bonus points very easily. Would you be tempted to go up to 8.5 million or so?
The funds are there, like I said, because of the Salah sale. I'm just having a look. Liverpool play Tottenham, Villa and Wolves. So I don't love those fixtures for clean sheet potential. And Trent's... plays when he is available. You know, how fit is he? Is he 100% yet? I'm still not convinced. So I think, again, I would probably lean towards Arsenal or Man City defenders over Trent at this moment in time.
Yeah, I'm not interested in Liverpool myself. They look a mess at the moment. I don't know whether it's the Klopp announcement earlier this season, whatever. So something is not right. Salah arguing with Klopp, storming away. It's not a good look. It's not something I want to be around. They've got Wolves in 38, and there's going to be a temptation to get in and captain a Liverpool player. But, you know, with Palmer at home to Bournemouth, Bruno Fernandes, I think, is a keep at home. Away to Brighton. I think Brighton are there to take. I think there's a whole bunch of Arsenal at home to Everton. Saka, you know, all of these are better options, I think. But in defensive terms, Alexander Arnold, will they keep a clean sheet at Wolves? Probably not. So,
And even just looking at 38 captaincy as well, you know, Man City at home to West Ham. If the league does go down to the wire on the final day, you know, you've got plenty of captains there, and Foden and Haaland as well.
Definitely. Porro's next name on the list. He's already in your team, but obviously it'd be remiss of me not to put him in here. Also around this point is Trippier. Now, I haven't got him in because he's injured at the moment, but he's a name to be aware of. But Porro's in your team. I think you're probably... I think he's fieldable this week against Liverpool, but he's definitely good for the double. I think if you don't have Porro, get him in. I think he's good Burnley at home, and I know it's City at home in 37, Sheffield United away, 30. I just think overall, it's pretty good set of fixtures. Don't expect clean sheets, though.
Yeah, overall, the fixtures are okay when you've got Burnley and Sheffield United in there. Definitely going to be playing them this week because I don't have anyone else. It's him and Gabriel that are the only fit guys. So in an ideal world, you know, I'd be maybe open to benching a Pedro Porro in a Liverpool fixture. But again, you own him for attacking potential, not clean sheets anyway. So he will be in my 11 this week and probably going to be in my 11 for the rest of the season, I would say. Okay.
I mentioned Trippier. He's not on this list because he's injured. But if he's back for 36, that would indicate that he'll play 37. I'd be very tempted to do Ederson and share to Trippier and Ortega. I think would be good. And I think a lot of other wildcarders might think that, those who've got Ederson and share anyway. But so that could be a move as well. Trippier could be an in for you.
Yeah, I was hoping to be buying Trippier around this point of the season. A lot of people, you know, earmarked him for game week 35 for the good fixture and for the double. But I think he's even said himself in the last few days that they're just being very, very careful with the return to action. So I think even when he does come back, he would still be at risk of not starting both games in a double game week. So, I mean, that's why I bought Fabian Schär for security of starts, and I didn't even get that. So I think maybe Dan Burn owners will be the winners.
Yeah, I know. That was my last decision. I should have gone for Dan Burn and Dallow. I wouldn't have to worry about any of this, but I do. Robertson's next. I'll sketch over him because he's a sort of similar bracket to Alexander-Arnold. I know he's cheaper, 6.5. And he has got two goals, two assists. And his expected goal involvement is around four as well. So he's doing all right. Eight shots inside the box, 54 chances created across 16 starts, which is pretty good. Minutes per baseline bonus, actually better than Alexander-Arnold. He's an option. He's probably the only Liverpool player I might get in for 38.
I think Robertson's looked better in recent times. You know, he was on the score sheet at the weekend, and I think I'm a bit more confident in his minutes now than I was maybe a few weeks ago as well. So, yeah, I think he's a good alternative to Trent if you don't have the cash.
Now it's my weekly enticing of Reguilón for you. Get him in. The thing is, he's got Fulham at home in 36, Bournemouth away 37, and Newcastle at home in 38. And Newcastle don't travel as well. I think he's really good for this. This is across 15 starts. He's had 10 shots inside the box, created 25 chances. He's racked up six assists. His expected goal involvement is lower than that, but nevertheless, he had 19 corners. A minutes per baseline bonus, 6.8 minutes. It's pretty good. I think maybe even this video last week, someone said, what about Reguilón? And I'll say again, what about Reguilón?
I think he's always an option. He's been on my watch list for a couple of weeks now. The fixtures always look fine. He always passes the eye test these days. He looks like he's been a player reborn, you know, rejuvenated at Brentford. It just seems like a really good fit for him playing in that system, and you know, plays as a wide forward a lot of the time. You know, just has loads of freedom, and he's good in the final third as well. So, yeah, again, in a season where there isn't clean sheets apart from Arsenal, then Reguilón, even with one less fixture, could outscore plenty of others who have four fixtures.
Next name on the list is someone I've highlighted. I'm highlighted in blue, though. For those, it's not going to help anyone listening, but I've highlighted those in blue that are playing in a double game. They've got a double game week, basically. So these are double game week games, and I think they'll take precedent. Because especially if we've got people who've got bench boosts. But anyway, Ben Davies is the next one. He's only 4.3. Congratulations to those who went for him because they were rewarded with an assist. And this table shows that wasn't unusual. He's had 10 shots inside the box, created four chances across his 12 starts. And his minutes per expected goal involvement is just below Reguilón and just above 8 Nouri. So if you're thinking 8 Nouri, Gvardiol, Ben Davies has actually got a better, he's expected to get a goal involvement more regularly than those ones there. No corners though, minutes per baseline bonus would be 6.5, so pretty reasonable. I got Porro in and that seemed the obvious pick. But I think Ben Davies is going to start all of these games. I think he is the preferred replacement for a doggy. I'm slightly kicking myself, but I don't rule out getting him in as well. Because I've only got two Spurs players, So I don't rule getting him in. And I think I think he could be a good choice for you as well if you need to get funds.
I think it's a player I need to give more thought to. I didn't really give him any thought at all last week when I was buying a new defender. But again, you know, Pop, I think he won the penalty for Son. We just know now with Postecoglou and, you know, having, you know, watched him at Celtic a lot as well, that his fullbacks spend a lot of time, not just in the final third, but in the box. Yeah. And Ben Davis, you know, for 1.5 million less than Porro, I think it is, it's a big saving. Mm. And probably at this moment in time, there's probably very little between them in terms of FPL points potential. So, yeah, if I had a clean slate this week or next week, then, you know, maybe Davis would go in just to save a bit of cash. Bit of a throwback as well. I remember having him, you know, alongside the likes of Christian Eriksen and Dele Alli and Harry Kane back in the good old Spurs days for FPL. Mm. But yeah. I think I will be adding him to the watch list this week, and he could make an appearance in my squad before the end of the season.
Eight Norries next. Wolves are actually bottom of the season ticker for defence, because in 36 they got Man City away. They do have Crystal Palace at home in 37, which is when you probably want him, and then you can have to bench him again for Liverpool away, last game of the season, Klopp's last game. But eight Norrie, nevertheless, 12 shots inside the box, 23 chances created, 2 goals, 3 assists, is expected goal involvement around 5 as well. He's had minutes per baseline bonus. Not as strong as some of the others, though, every 9 minutes. So he might not get you bonus. So he might be like 6 points if he gets an assist or so, or just a clean sheet. But yeah, ain't Norrie. I've seen him in a few wildcard teams, actually.
Yeah, just too injury prone recently is the problem with him. I think he's flagged again. He seems to have picked up another knock in the most recent game week. So again, too many fitness concerns. He's very attractive when he does play, because he often plays, you know, out of position, sometimes even on the right wing. So, but yeah, just because he's flagged at the moment, I think we need to go elsewhere.
Gvardiol here. I had this deep intake of breath, because in my original wildcard team, I think I may have shown you a couple of weeks ago, Gvardiol was there, and of course I would have got many more points if I'd have gone for him. It's a minutes risk, but I've done that getting a goalkeeper with his arm in a sling. So Gvardiol could be. I think he's going to get. I still don't think he's going to start both in 37, but I think he'll get one of them, and that could be enough with the other fixtures around it. 15 shots inside the box. That's huge for a defender this season. 15 chances created across 22 starts, 2 goals and an assist, and pretty strong minutes per baseline bonus of around 6.5 minutes. I think at this stage now, I would just go for him.
Yeah, it's one of those. I often think sometimes the best way to play FPL is do what a casual manager would do, or a less engaged manager. They would log in, they would see Gvardiol with 3 goals in 5 games or whatever it is, and they would just buy him. And sometimes that's a, you know, a pretty good approach. But us who think about FPL too much, we know what Pep's like. And every time I think about a double game week City defender, I think, it might only be one start. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if it's Gvardiol or Kyle Walker. And I always come to the conclusion, just get the goalkeeper or splash the cash for a Kevin De Bruyne instead. So, Gvardiol, you know, I think the time to be on him was a few weeks ago. And those who have been, you know, well done, you've been rewarded. Mm. You got yourself a City fullback who's improved in the final third in recent times. I don't think he scored for his first 50 or 55 games or something like that. Now he's got 3 and 5. So he's turned into Erling Haaland over the last few weeks. Unsustainable, but still a very good FPL pick.
Yeah, and that would chime with the way it is with new players in Pep's setup. Often they sort of start, they're in and out of the team, but then once they start firing, we've seen this with attacking fullbacks, we've seen this with attacking players, you know, Mahrez, Grealish was not great first when he first joined, then in the treble season he was great. But I mean, perhaps not from an FPL point of view, but as a player, and relied on there. So yeah, I think we're seeing that with Gvardiol. Next thing with Maguire, you said you might not go for him now, but he's 4.2. My team, what swayed me was these 19 shots inside the box. And he was just getting, he was just more attacking than Dallow. And so I just thought, I'll go for him. 6 chances created. His competition, Martinez, etc., might be back. But I think he'll retain his place even. I don't think we're going to get two more centre. I don't think they've got anyone else. But he's had four assists, two goals, so six attacking returns. Overperforming, expected goal involvement's around three. But he's had 18 starts, which is not bad for him. I mean, it's per baseline bonus, 7.1. He was just in the bonus before Burnley equalised. So I would have got 7 points from him, I think. But yeah, I still think he's a good option, especially if you need money.
Yeah, and you know, a few attacking returns in the cup matches as well, which won't show up in these numbers. So they're probably even better if you take in all competitions. And yeah, I've kind of been thinking to myself, right, get City, get Arsenal. Yeah. But again, you look at these numbers and I still think he's just a good option, especially for a bench boost. You know, even if you want to bench him in some of the, you know, final few game weeks and just use him just for the bench boost, then absolutely fine. Because we know in any game at any time, he can pop up and score from a set piece. So yeah, he's still a fine pick.
Next thing is even cheaper, Barco. But I don't think many people are going to go there because Brighton are so evidently, just get them next season. I don't think they're a hard avoid. Attack and defence. But yeah, Barco, he's impressing. I think he's nailed it down. He's nailed it down for two reasons. One, he's pretty good. Left back. Estupinan's not there. But it's not just Estupinan not being there. Hardly anyone's there. So they're just running out of players. He'll end up being one of the oldest players on there. And he's only about 17 himself or something. No, he's older than that. But yeah, 4 million. He's had a shot inside the box and two chances created in two starts, which is promising. So I think he's, yeah, but yeah, I can't sell a Brighton defender really.
Nah, you can't make a strong case for any Brighton player at the moment. And it's annoying because they do have the double game week and we know what they're capable of when they're, you know, playing like they did at the first half of the season and towards the end of last season. Yeah. But unfortunately, we just don't have that Brighton anymore. Mm. And I mean, hopefully we'll see it again next season. But for now, I don't think, you know, we don't have too many transfers left and I certainly wouldn't be using them on Brighton players.
No, me neither. Dan Burns next. Once again, also like Harry Maguire, he's got 19 shots inside the box, created 10 chances, two goals and two assists across his 28 starts. So not as good as Maguire there in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement. His minutes per baseline bonus is pretty good at 7.4. Okay, I mean, not as good as some of the others. Fabian Scher is just off this list. He just missed the cusp, but he's basically the next name beyond the last name, which is De Sassi at Chelsea on this list. His minutes per expected goal involvement, 760 minutes. So you can divide that by 90 yourselves. And Burns much better than that. But I prefer Fabian Scher if he's fit, just because I just feel that he's slightly more accurate when he does those sort of long shots, or he just seems, I don't know what it is. It's more of an eye test, I think, with him. And Dan Burn, I think, is a very good option, though.
Yeah, Fabian Scher is just a much more natural finisher. Yeah. You know, he's a really good centre back in the final third. He's got a lot of goals in his career, whereas Dan Burn doesn't have too many. So, but again, you know, Dan Burn is a pretty steady option. Again, if you've got a bench, even if you don't have a bench boost, you know, the double game week coming up, just a player you can plug in, and he should start every game for the rest of the season. And if I get news, or we get news, that if Fabian Scher was to miss a bit of a, you know, longer spell, then I wouldn't be against just going Fabian Scher to Dan Burn.
Yeah.
If Trippier isn't going to be available, because Trippier is the obvious one. But Dan Burn, you know, I put him and Maguire in the same bracket like yourself. But again, I come down to the fact, you know, which team do I have more faith in? It probably is Newcastle. So Dan Burn's another good pick.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's three out of four of the matches are away. So in terms of clean sheets and attacking returns, I think obviously home, they're much better. I mean, I was quite shocked how... I got Gordon and Isak, and we spoke about them before, but just because I just thought it was like a cheat code, looking at the home scores for both of them, it was just ridiculous. And in a way, they seem to be hopeless. it quite took me back, you know, how many points you get from them at home. So yeah, it'd really be that Brighton match I would be targeting for Newcastle. Next two names, Gabriel and White. White has created a mammoth 33 chances this season. He's got 9 attacking returns, 4 goals, 5 assists. Gabriel's got 4 goals. He's not about assists. He's about heading the ball from set pieces. But I've noticed with the corners, they're taking these annoying short corners. They're not... What it was Rice aiming for Gabriel's head. And that doesn't seem to be happening now. So that's why I like White more. But I think most people have an Arsenal defender at least. But I think if you're going for a second one, I wouldn't mess around. Just get Ben White in.
Yeah, I've just got Gabriel, and I think it's pretty clear now that if you want another one, that Ben White is the one to go for. Ben White's arguably the best one at the moment, over Gabriel. You get the open play stuff with Ben White. You know, you get him in the final third, and I think he's improved a lot in his game as well this season in the final third, in terms of goal threat and assist potential. So yeah, just a really good pick. I don't think I've owned him at all. I don't know if I've ever owned Ben White in FPL, and maybe I need to change that before the season is out.
I think it, part of me, my Brighton bias, when he was great at Brighton, was great at Leeds, and when he was on loan, great at Arsenal, just a great good player. He is one of only two teams that are in double digits for their defenders in terms of clean sheets. Gabriel's got 14. White, who started more, has had 16 clean sheets. Surprisingly, it's Everton. Pickford, I laughed at Tom Freeman when he had Pickford in his wild card. And I thought, your wild card, but you've got Pickford. But if he did indeed go for that by the end, he's got immediate returns. And Everton don't have a double, but looking down the list, they've got Luton away, Sheffield United at home, for Arsenal away, where you can safely bench him. I don't think Pickford's a bad option to get in this week. And he's certainly on my radar as an Edison replacement, if Edison's not fit in 37. Sheffield United at home, I think it's great. So it's Tarkowski's on this list, though. I know Branthwaite is popular, but it's Tarkowski's seems to be more likely to get goal involvement. He's got 21 shots inside the box, 20 chances created. I mean, this is not bad. 12 clean sheets as well. I think he's weirdly one of the best options here. Can I tempt you by an Everton defender?
I think since Sean Dyche changed into the tracksuit, we need to look at his FPL picks in a different way. They've been really good recently. And they go, of course, you know, something to play for towards the end of the season in terms of surviving and all that. The Tarkowski and Branthwaite, I think they're both really good in terms of, you know, attack and potential. Tarkowski does still win out for me. You know, historically, he's always been a big threat. But again, you know, last week was probably the time to get the Everton guys when they did have the double. When you've got other teams that have an extra fixture, I find it hard to go there. Just on Pickford as well, someone needs to write a thesis on Jordan Pickford's FPL season. You know, he was in a lot of teams at the start. I remember tweeting, you know, a couple of weeks into the season that there was, you know, there's 20 starting goalkeepers in FPL, and Pickford was somehow ranked 21st in terms of points after a few weeks. And now I think he's clear at the top, which is absolutely nuts. Somehow made it into my free hit squad, which was very nice, but I don't think I'm going to be buying him or Tarkowski for the final few weeks.
I'm tempted. I really am tempted there. Next name's Walker. I was tempted by him. He did get bonus in the last match. I think he's, out of any defender, even above Guardiola, he's most likely to start them all. But there's still that doubt there. He's 5.4. He's only had one shot inside the box, but it's assist potentials where you get that from him. 24 chances he's created. He's got 5 assists this season, which is the same as Alexander Arnold. And he's got 8 clean sheets. Minutes per baseline bonus is every 6 minutes, which is very strong. I mean, I guess he's similar with Vardy. Always like good to get in, attacking potential, but will he start every match? I think he might.
Yeah. I think I said this last week as well. And it's still the same for me. If you're playing the minutes game with the City defenders, I still put Walker number one. And even though Guardiola's been the goal scorer recently, and most people gravitate towards that recency bias, I think if you're going for a defender, I still think I'd put Walker first just to try and get all of the starts. Yeah. And you know, you've got some attacking potential and definitely clean sheet potential as well. So Walker, you know, still firmly in my thoughts when it comes to defensive transfers.
Great stuff. And last name is De Sassi at Chelsea. Once again, I'm not even sure he's going to start. I don't even know. I mean, I've already got Petrovic, so I definitely don't want to double up on their defence. You got Gusto. You're going to... It looks like he should be fit for 36. But he could then get injured again and not be available. But so De Sassi is an option at 4.9. 15 shots inside the box he's had. 3 chances created. Pretty strong minutes per baseline bonus. Just squeezed into this list above Cher. So, I personally am not going to go there, but and I probably don't think you will either.
No, it's again in terms of sideways transfers, I'm quite comfortable to do something like Fabian Cher to Dan Byrne, player for player from the same team. But if I need to sell Gusto, I definitely will not be getting another Chelsea defender. I've had a Chelsea defensive double up for way too long, and it is not, providing too many points. So hopefully Gusto's okay, but if not, I'll go elsewhere, to someone else on the list that we mentioned.
Okay. Well, let's have a look. Let's finish off by having a look at your bus team going into game week 36. So do you want to run through your options and what you're considering, whether you're considering holding a move or if you do make a move, who's in, who's out?
Yeah, so the team before any transfers are made, Petrovic in goal, Fabian Cher flagged, Gabriel and Pedro Porro. Porro with a tricky fixture away to Liverpool. Gordon and Isak away to Burnley, which is good. Mm-hmm. Palmer and Foden with good home fixtures. Heung-min Son against Liverpool, I don't mind that. Haaland currently with the captain's armband at home to Wolves. Mm-hmm. And then Solanke's up front against Arsenal, which I kind of like as a single defensive Arsenal owner. Yeah. But again, if I need to make a defensive transfer this week, I think it probably would be an Arsenal or a City defender coming in.
Yeah.
And, for example, if I go Ben White in, let's say, for Van Hekka, then I would be open to benching Solanke and playing Garnacho away to Crystal Palace, even though that's not a great fixture at the moment either. So there's a lot of play here. I don't like having, a striker against a double defence, for example. Yeah. It's my moves this week. It's Monday morning. I need a lot of news on Gusto, Fabian Cher and Van Hekka. If I can get one of those guys even fit, Fabian Cher in particular for the Burnley game, that opens the door to rolling the transfer. Mm. And then, having two frees and probably a hit or two then to get the bench boost ready, because obviously Kelleher needs to go. I could just do Kelleher to Ortega as well, depending on Ederson news. And I'd rather have Ortega at home to Wolves than have. I'm just sick of playing Petrovic. I don't really expect clean sheets in any game. So, it's going to be probably a defensive move, a role transfer, or a goalkeeper transfer.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be similar for me. I mentioned a lot of people, they've got defensive issues somewhere. But yeah, I guess for you, it's your weak links, and Kelleher's not going to play. Van Hex doesn't look like he's going to play. So they're going to be your weak links. So they would need to go as a priority. And it could be that Cher's not playing as well. We need that injury news later in the week as well. Myself, like a number of people, wildcarding or not, I've got Jackson in their team, obviously delighted with that. And it is between them, between Gordon and Jackson to bench. My instinct is just bench Jackson because I'm just not keen, but he does have a better fixture. You've got the vice captaincy on Palmer. You've got Petrovic playing. Do you think that's quite a good fixture in comparison to Newcastle away to Burnley?
I just, on a Gordon versus Jackson question, I just don't think it's a competition. I just think Gordon this season has been superb. I know Newcastle are very different away from home, but I do like the Burnley game because Burnley, try and play. Mm. They make a lot of mistakes playing out from the back. And I think Isak and Gordon with that high press could have a lot of joy there. And Jackson, there's a good player in there, but I don't think he's at the top of his game. And this has been the Anthony Gordon season, as it has been the Cole Palmer season. So I think you play the player who's been bang on it all season, and it's Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, that's what I would do as well. I mean, I just saw that you starting with Gordon, and obviously Garnacho is on the bench. So those with Garnacho, I mean, I personally, if I still had, I mean, I've got Fernandez, I'm playing him. If I had Garnacho, I think I'd play him away to Crystal Palace above Solanke away to Arsenal anyway.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think if Ben White comes into my team this week, I'll almost certainly flip that. I'll bench Solanke, go after the double Arsenal clean sheet and play Garnacho against Palace.
Yeah, that's what I would do as well. Excellent. Well, good luck with the game week. Good luck to those watching and listening. Lots of decisions. As usual, we've got team news later in the week, on Friday. That'll round up all the press conferences. So that's going to be absolutely vital for a lot of people's decisions, whether they hold or who they make a transfer for. And I think your team, Mark, is very similar to others in that there's a defensive move that needs to be made at some point, depending on those injuries. But thanks a lot for your time. Good luck with the game week. And see you again next week.
Cheers, all.